Springbok Radio invites you to lean back, put your feet up, and spend the next half hour with the Bowler, Briefcase, and Brolly Brigade.
The next part of the ministry.
Even public servants have private lives. Let's eavesdrop on today's goings-on in the General Assistance Department.
Oh, Richard, Richard, must you go?
In the service, orders are orders. I must go, and alone.
Oh, so cruel, so cruel. I'm having a come-over. I mean, I'm overcome.
There, there, my dear. Accept this glorious moment with gratitude. To think that through all the years we've spent together, we've never known... what will Uncle Jasper say?
Never mind Uncle Jasper. I'm wondering what Mr. Lennox Brown will say if he catches us like this.
Mildred, you've broken my mood now. How can I rehearse my part if you won't play up to me properly?
Well, it's all right for you, Mr. Lamb. But they didn't ask me to be in their perishing play. I'm just a standby.
Stand in, Mildred, stand in. And besides, you're not a thespian.
Well, I should hope not.
I'll have you know, Mildred, that the civil service thespians are regarded as the cream of London's amateur actors.
Lot of cream puffs, most of them.
Mildred! Anyway, it's a great honour for me to be chosen for their next production, and I must rehearse. Now, come on, Mildred.
Oh, all right, then. Oh, Richard, I'm overcome.
No, not that bit. Let's try the end of Act One.
Oh, you mean where you produce your thingy and wave it under me nose?
I do not wave it under your nose, Mildred. I take the letter from my pocket and confront you with it.
Oh, yes. And then I fall sobbing into your arms.
Calling her in. Calling number two. What's the matter with Mildred? Put her eyelashes in the typewriter again, has she?
No, number one. Actually, she's conveying remorse because of the letter. Registering it, you know.
Registering what letter?
No, number one. She isn't registering a letter. Can't you see? There's remorse stamped all over her.
Yeah. Well, now that she's been stamped and registered, what happens next? I suppose she gets posted, eh?
No. Actually, I'm the one who gets posted to Hong Kong.
Posted to Hong Kong? What is all this?
Well, it's for the civil service the civil service thespians next production. I'm in it, you see, and Mildred's been trying me out.
No wonder she's crying.
Number one, she's only putting on an act.
Yeah. Well, it's intermission. Try putting on the kettle instead, Mildred.
Yes, Mr. Lennox.
What play is this you're doing, number two?
It's by Orlando Wilch. You know, the one the critics call the angriest young man since Attila. It's a tremendous play, number one. Hard-hitting, dynamic, earthy, powerful.
What's it called?
Tread Softly Amid the Lilies.
General Assistance Department, Lennox Brown creeping. Speaking.
Dinner. What time is it?
12 o'clock, Sir Gregory.
Well, you'd better get along to Portland Place because you have an appointment at the BBC at 12:30 with the Assistant Deputy Director of Programmes. Apparently there's an epidemic on his hands.
Oh, an epidemic, eh? Yes. Yes, nasty complaint, that, yes. On the hands, too, eh?
An epidemic, man. Among his announcers, half of them are down with laryngitis or something, and he's screaming for help.
Well, he'd better be careful, hadn't he? Well, screaming like that, he could get something nasty, like laryngitis. Oh, you've got it too, Sir Gregory. Now, look, you must try gargling. Oh, dear, we seem to have been choked off. Uh, Good afternoon. We're looking for Mr. Waldo Hammett.
I'm sorry, he's in bed with laryngitis.
Oh, well then, perhaps his secretary?
No, she's in bed too.
With laryngitis?
Yes, that's right. I'm Roscoe Greville, personal assistant to Mr. Hammett. I keep an eye on the personal side.
I bet you do.
Actually, I'm more at home in films, you know.
Really?
Oh, yes. I've spent a lot of time in films, mostly in the cutting room.
Oh. In films, eh? How did you start?
As a clapper boy. Yes, it's quite a letdown for me, you know, having to come into radio. But when Mr. Hammett came to me and he said, Roscoe... Oh, we're Waldo and Roscoe to each other, of course, yes. When he said, Roscoe, you've got to come to me. Well, I was on a cloud, carried away.
Who brought you back?
Number two. Well, Mr. Refill...
Revel.
I am Lennox Brown, and this is Mr. Lamb here, and we're from the General Assistance Department.
Oh, yes, I was told you were coming. Now, there are lots of things to do. Which do you prefer, Mike?
No, I am Roland Lennox Brown, and he's Richard Lamb.
Oh, very droll indeed. I mean, will you be quite at home on the microphone?
Hmm? Oh, yes.
Yes, I was born with one in my mouth, actually. There's nothing to it. Hello, 2LO calling. 2LO calling.
Oh,
hello.
Good. You're just in time to read the news.
Huh? You mean me? What do you mean now?
Yes, all our newsreaders are ill. Studio 6.
Actually, I'm having a bit of trouble with my plate today, you see. And you need the experience more than I do, number two.
Number one, I can't.
Please don't thank me. Don't thank me, number two. Go to it and don't even think about all those millions of people out there who will be hanging on your words.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing.
You're on the air.
What's that?
Oh, you're on the air. Stop testing and start talking.
Oh, I see. Here is the news read by Richard Lamb. That is Lamb. There were amazing scenes following an electricity failure in the underground station at Piccadilly today. Hundreds of people were trapped on the escalators. Hundreds more panicked as they battled through the darkness to reach the exits.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, it says so here. Look.
Don't be so dramatic. Calm and dispassionate.
Be calm and dispassionate was the order that went out as the ambulances raced to the scene, ready to deal with the injured. Relatives or friends of the people who may be involved are urged not to block the approaches to Piccadilly by visiting the scene. We repeat, do not go to Piccadilly. Once again, be warned, do not go to Piccadilly. To those who may have missed this message, this is your friendly newsreader, Richard Lamb, saying, keep away from Piccadilly.
BBC, I mean, that is the GAB, Lennox Brown speaking.
Well, that didn't take long, did it, Lennox Brown?
You mean the news, Sir Gregory?
I mean the news. Doesn't that imbecile Lamb know that if you tell the British people not to do something, they immediately go on and do it? 5 minutes after that broadcast, there were so many people in Piccadilly that nobody could come up from the underground, you fool.
Oh.
Put that dangerous lunatic Lamb onto something that can't do any damage. Understand?
Oh, yes, Sir Gregory. And do give my kind regards to Lady...
Bar.
Lady Bar? Oh, is that her name? I thought it was Prudence.
I say, number one, I've had a brilliant idea for a program.
What is it? How to make your own atom bomb?
No, number one. It's called The Twain Shall Meet. It's a cultural exchange of ideas between East and West. I'll probably get the Nobel Peace Prize for this.
Tell me more, number two.
Well, in our first program, we meet...
Professor Harry White, Puni Lalji Mukherjee at your service. I am so pleasant to be making your acquaintance.
Well, how do you do?
How do you do? You see, I am been greeting you in your Western way. Now we are exchanging Gujarati greetings, like so. Now, you, with movements, please. They are being of the utmost importance. To...
Yeah, I see.
Isham na haya! Omshim haya!
Splendid, splendid. Now we are trying the Gujarati goodbye, with movements, of course.
Tell me, how do you know whether somebody's saying hello or goodbye, Miss Mukherjee?
Well, it is simplicity itself. If they are being coming, it is being hello. If they are being going, it is goodbye.
Yes, of course. Silly of me to ask, really, wasn't it?
Mr. Mukherjee knows everything about Eastern customs, number one.
Oh, yes, indeedy. In my country, land, it is not what you are doing, but the way you are doing it, you know.
And is it your idea, number two, to give Mr. Mukherjee a program so that he can tell the people what to do and sort of show them how to do it?
Oh, absolutely.
With movements?
Naturally.
On the radio?
Well, of course, number one. I say, I am a silly Billy, aren't I? Well, if you will wait for me outside, Mr. Mukherjee, I'll take you round to the television studio.
Oh, you are being much too kindly. Goodbye.
No, Mr. Mukherjee, please, no, don't say goodbye.
No?
He's
hanging, hi, oh, yeah, hi. Oh, hi, hi, hi.
That means get lost, number two.
There we are, Mildred. The new program schedule. Get it round to the Radio Times as quickly as possible, will you?
All right, Mr. Lamb. Oh, can I have a look first?
Yes, of course. Be my guest.
7 o'clock, Meet the People, introduced by Richard Lamb. 7:30, The People I Meet, featuring Richard Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
8:30, Test the People, with your quizmaster, Richard Lamb. 9 o'clock, The Purple People Eaters. All the latest discs spun by Richard Lamb.
Oh, pretty meaty, isn't it, eh?
Well, there's lots of lamb. Don't you think it's a bit, one-sided?
Too many people, you mean? You may be right. But they're wanting to go to press, so shoot it along, will you? Oh, well, I'm off to the studios. If Pitkin phones, tell him I'll ring him back. And this is Richard Lamb, Down Your Way. Well, hello, 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 hello. And for those of you who may have been a little late in switching on, hello, hello, hello. Today in Down Your Way, we interview a delightful old world couple whose names have gone forward as candidates for the Dunmo Flitch. They're Mr. and Mrs. Humbert and Lolita Snetherswade of Puddle on the Green. And hello, 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 hello to you.
Yes. Well, go on, say something, you old faggot.
Like what?
Like hello.
Oh. Hello.
Oh, charming. Absolutely charming. Charming. Now, Mrs. Netherswade, as you know, the Dunmo Flitch is awarded each year to Britain's happiest old married couple. How do you rate your chances?
Well, it all depends. Worth a few bob, is it, this twitch?
Flitch, actually. And yes, I imagine it's of fair value.
Oh, well, in that case, me and my darling old girl here stand a very good chance on account of what we've never had a crossword, have we, love?
Of course we have. What about the time we...
Shut up, you silly old man. Oh, now, then it's the time my darling Lolita here has turned aside my harsh words with a kiss.
I'll turn them aside with a frying pan, too.
No man could wish for a better wife.
Well, what a charming and original thought.
It'd make me the happiest man in the world to be able to present my lovable old dear with the Ludlow stitch.
The Dunmo Flitch, you old fool. Anyway, it's only a side of bacon.
A side of bacon? Is that all?
Yes, Mr. Snethersby. Dunmore Fletch is a side of bacon.
50 years of marriage for half a dozen rashers. What, she can't cook anyway.
Who can't cook?
You can't. Or she wouldn't dish up cottage pie for breakfast.
But you like cottage pie?
Not with custard on it, I don't. Mr.
and Mrs. Snethersby, please. This is no way to win the Dunmore Fletch.
Oh, that's a pity. I wanted that Fletch badly.
Oh, why so badly?
So I could belt her over the side of the head with it.
By the way, tell me, Mildred.
Oh! Who left that golf club lying there?
You did, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Oh, did I? Well, I must have had a good reason for it, I suppose.
What are you going to do about poor Mr. Lamb?
Poor Mr. Lamb?
Aye. With all this going on, he's had no chance to rehearse his part for Tread Softly Among the Lilies.
It'll be Sleep Softly Underneath the Lilies when Sir Gregory gets hold of him. And, Mildred, I have a premonition.
Ooh, does it hurt?
A premonition, Mildred. A feeling that the phone is going to ring in 10 seconds from now. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Hello, Sir Gregory.
Hello.
How very nice to hear from you. Are you in your office?
No, I'm in yours, you fool.
Yes, very good, yes.
Now, Lennox Brown, I have something very important to discuss with you.
Oh, the broadcast, you mean, Sir Gregory?
How did you know?
Well, I guess.
Well, it's very shrewd of you, Lennox Brown. Can't imagine how you knew. Anyway, about tomorrow's broadcast, I'm bringing some very important people to the studios where I don't want anything to go wrong. That puts Lamb out of it.
Well, if it's so important, perhaps I'd better be the question master myself, Sir Gregory.
You?
If you want a thing done properly, do it yourself, as my old grandmother used to say.
It's a pity she isn't available to do the broadcast. Anyway, do your best, Lennox Brown, and if anything goes wrong, do give in my kind regards, won't you?
Who, Sir Gregory?
The man you'll be relieving at Ballymuckie.
We present You Can't Fool All the People with Roland Lennox Brown. And here he is, your friend and mine, Roland Lennox Brown.
And good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Roland Lennox Brown, L-E-N-N-O-X Brown, hyphenated, of course. And first of all, let me introduce this evening's panel, Miss Amelia Cobb, known to her friends as Mealy Cobb.
Oh, you naughty man, giving my secrets away.
And Professor Fulcombe Sluggeridge, Professor of English at the University of Wapping.
Thank you. I'm mildly honored by the invite to join the panel.
And wearing a rather distinctive muffler, and cloth cap, which, of course, you listeners cannot see, Mr. Alfred Bolsover, Weeks of Whitechapel.
Evening, all.
And question number one tonight is this. Here comes question number one. Who wrote Oliver Twist?
It's a very good question, is that?
Dear, I hope it isn't going to be one of those difficult evenings.
You know, it's a wide field, is English literature. Yeah.
Of course, it might not be an Englishman, eh? No. Wouldn't be surprised if it was a flipping American. Got their perishing hooks on everything, them Yanks have.
Quite. Actually, Dickens wasn't an American.
Oh, I know. Wasn't it Charles Dickens?
Yes, that's right. Very good. Yes, Charles Dickens.
Well, I'll go to our house. She's phenomenal, isn't she? Phenomenal, this woman. Eh?
And a very good start for the team. And now on to question number two.
I bet it's all about a flippin' American.
Question number two. Who handed over the Magna Carta?
There you are. Told you, didn't I? Can't keep the bloomin' Americans out of it.
Hang on. It's no good getting obstreporous about this. We've got to consider this rationally.
There's nothing rational about them flipping Americans. I call upon every red-blooded Red Indian out tonight, that is, every red-blooded Englishman, to take a stand. Right. Are you all behind me?
Yeah.
Are you ready to march?
Yeah.
Then follow me, mates, to the American Embassy.
Yeah.
Brown. Thank you. That was the most revolutionary broadcast I've ever heard.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you liked it. What about your friends? Did they enjoy it too?
They didn't stop to tell me, Lennox Brown.
Oh, really? How very impolite. Who were they?
They were all the members of the American Let's Be Friends with Britain delegation. And here is the news. Read by Mortimer Thripp. The outbreak of laryngitis among BBC announcers continues unchecked. That is the end of the news. Oh, here is a late message just handed to me. America is considering declaring war on Britain. And now the weather forecast.
Unpredictable people, these Americans. Sometimes I think that Weeks fellow was half right.
Number two, boggling will get you nowhere. What we need is cool, calm thinking.
It's him. It's Sir Gregory, the beast from 20,000 Fathom. It's Dracula's godfather. Number one, we've had it. It'll be him.
The time is precisely 10:30. 10:30 and 10 seconds.
What's that?
10:30 and 10 seconds, Sir Gregory.
What?
He'll know. He'll bring back hanging.
Calm down, number. All is not yet lost. This is a recording. The part you have dialed is not available. Kindly leave your message, speaking slowly and distinctly. You have 15 seconds from now.
Here is my message. Do not attempt to escape. I repeat, do not attempt to escape. The world is not big enough. Do you understand?
Oh, yes, Sir Gregory.
What am I saying? I don't know. You know who it was.
Now you're boggling, number one. This is it. We're done.
No, steady.
Look, always remember that you're on the permanent staff.
Permanent staff.
There's just one way out. Mildred.
Yes, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Plan B, Mildred.
Plan B. Oh, I. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown. Hello, this is Mildred Mervyn, to whom you have the honor of addressing your conversation at.
The clown. Put me onto one of those two clowns. I want to speak to them.
You can't, Sir Gregory.
Can't? Why?
Well, you can, but they can't. They've both got laryngitis.
Rollicking along the airwaves tonight is the Men for the Ministry with John Simpson and Roger Service. Voices and art provided by Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, Tom Meehan, and Frank Graham.
Script and production by Tom Meehan with direction by Brian Squires. Join the whole mad bunch at the same time next week for another romp down the corridors of power with the Men from the Ministry.